Hello, everyone. Welcome to Making the Biblical Text Meaningful to Life, a platform on which difficult biblical texts are discussed. Your teachers are Dr. Liberty and Dr. Robertson. Hey, Rob, are you there?
Yes.
All right. Will you please pray for us?
Yes, absolutely. Our Heavenly and gracious Father, we just come before you this evening to study your word. Lord, you have so much you want to teach us and share with us, and we just praise and magnify your name. We want to lift you up and thank you for giving us your word.
Yes, Lord.
There's so much there, and you know, in our busy lives, we need to make more time to be with you, Father, for there's so much we can learn, and as we're going to see tonight, how good it was for Joseph. We don't always understand what's going on or why things are happening, but in time you make things clear.
Yeah.
For, Father, as we've seen these past weeks, you are the promise keeper.
Mm.
You care for us, you love us, you provide for us, and you nurture us. Nurture us through people you put in our lives.
Yes, Lord.
But also through your word and through your Holy Spirit, helping us to grow and become more like Christ. More like you, Father,
yes, Lord.
And being a light unto this world. Lord, we just want to lift up this study tonight as we continue to look in Genesis and study the life of Joseph, as well as his family and those around him, and what he had to endure and what the outcome was. Lord, you've taught us so much about what it means to have a biblical-based marriage and not a cultural one. Society tries to teach us which way is right and what is the best way, but Father, you created us.
You did, oh God.
You are infinite. You are wise beyond anything we can comprehend, Father. And Lord, so we look to you and to your guidance. For there is nothing, no other truth, nothing that can take your place, Father. Lord, you know what is best, what will keep us safe, will help us to grow and help us to live a much better life, a much purer life, and a life that will be a light unto others, an example, and one that protects the lives of others, as we see in Joseph. For you sent him forth to make the way for the hard times that were to come. Lord, you've often done this throughout time, for you know what is to come and what is in our lives. So Lord, we just lift up this time. Let us speak your truth and no other. Bless this study and bless this time. And Lord, minister to those that are joining us this night and in the days to come. Thank you so much for your word. Lord, we just pray these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Rob. All right. Okay. For those who are with us live today, we would like you to do a few things. If you are on a computer, if you have any question during the teaching, use the chat button and send us the question. We'll get back to you. For those who are with us by phone, take down this number. While the teaching is on, if you have any question to ask, just call this number. You can call it several times and leave your questions, and we are going to get back to you. And the number is 561-406-9853. 561-406-9853. Leave your questions, and we will get back to you. However, at the end of the teaching, we are going to unmute everyone, and you will have the opportunity to ask question or make a comment. So, hey, hang out with us. Great time teaching today. It's wonderful. All right. Now, let's look at our text. We will continue our study of Joseph. In fact, we're concluding Joseph tonight by the grace of God. Now, our text is taken from Genesis 41, chapter 41, beginning at verse 46 to 55. And I'm reading from the NIV version of the Bible. Verse 46, Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentifully. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain, like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. Verse 50. Before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potiphera, priest of On. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, "It is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household." 52. The second son, he named him Ephraim and said, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering." 53. The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began. Just as Joseph had said, there was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt, there was food. When all Egypt began to feel the famine, the people cried to Pharaoh for food. Then Pharaoh told all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph and do what he tells you." Wow. Okay. Before we continue our study of Joseph today, his wedding and mission, we want to recap the teaching we did last week so as to smoothly lead us into our closing, concluding point in Joseph tonight. Okay. We discussed the following. We discussed the background of Joseph's promotion. All right. And the entire promotion of Joseph, we discussed that. And some of the things we talked about there was God, when God ready to promote Joseph after his suffering here and there. You know, God, when God wants to work a miracle, he does it in a way that a human being cannot understand. We know that from our study last week, Joseph was sold through hatred. He was sold by his brothers. And then he landed in Egypt into the house of Potiphar. While he was in that house serving his master faithfully, God blessed him. And then the master's wife, whose name is not mentioned anywhere in the Bible, lied. And then Joseph ended up into prison. While he was in prison, the Lord was also with him. Even the guard, the commander of the prison, made Joseph a leader. And so while Joseph was in prison, it was just miracles upon miracles. The Pharaoh put two of his guards, his chief cupbearer and chief baker, into prison, and they were there. And Joseph was overseeing every one of them. They had a dream, as we discussed last week. They had a dream, and Joseph met with them. He interpreted their dreams. And the meaning of those dreams happened exactly as he interpreted those dreams. The baker was killed, and the cupbearer was restored and went back to work. But the point here is, why he was leaving, Joseph told him, "My friend, when you go, please talk to the Pharaoh for me. I've done no wrong, and I do not deserve to be in prison." So his friend, right, the cupbearer, promised. He said, "Okay, I'm going to talk to Pharaoh." But when he left, he forgot about Joseph until after 2 years. Now, when God got ready to fulfill the promise he made to Joseph, God used a dream to stir up the whole of Egypt. That's how he works in a mysterious way. Now, Joseph was in jail. The cupbearer was back on his job. He's enjoying himself. And when God got ready to fulfill the promise he made to Joseph when he was just 17 years old, God stirred up the whole kingdom through two dreams. The king had a dream. There were two dreams. But when he got up, he remembered the dreams. He didn't know the meaning. What it meant. And King's dream was so important, as we discussed with you last week. Very important. So he called all of his magicians and other people to give him the meaning. And they said, well, old king, live forever. Pharaoh, there's no one here is able to interpret your dreams. That's when God Almighty opened the heart of the cupbearer. And the cupbearer said, oh, Pharaoh, I remember when I was in jail. There's a Hebrew in jail who interpreted dreams for me and the baker. Today I'm back at work, and the baker died. He was killed. This Hebrew young man, his name is Joseph. I'm sure he is able to interpret your dream. He was brought, and Joseph said, Pharaoh, I cannot interpret your dream, but my God is able to interpret your dream. I just love that. His faith in God. God is able to interpret your dream. And Joseph interpreted the dream. Oh, and Pharaoh was so happy when he got through with the interpretation. And Joseph made a recommendation. You need to find somebody who will spearhead the 7 years of abundance to store food, houses all over your country. And then the 7 years of famine, they can use the food that I stole to be distributed among your people so that they would not die. Pharaoh said, but who can do this? Only you can do it. So Joseph was appointed to be the second man to Pharaoh. We learned last week. The second man to Pharaoh. And he didn't stop there, but he gave him a wife. And this wife, Asenath, she was the daughter of Potiphar, the priest of On. Joseph was giving up a major responsibility, and Joseph began to travel all over the country, to make sure that the work or the dreams that he had interpreted, that he would make sure that foods are kept in the various places. So these are things that we learned some of the last week. All right, go back to the video, all right? If you need detail, go back to last video in part two. You're going to get the detail of all that we discussed. I think about 35, 40, or 45 minutes of study. Go back there. All right. Now let's look at the objectives tonight. At the end of this teaching, participants will understand, discover, and believe that God is the promise keeper. Joseph's dreams that resulted in his slavery were fulfilled. I love that. Joseph believes that the act of his brothers against him was part of God's plan for his life. And I agree with him too. Because God moves in a way so that we do not understand. Through Joseph, we learn how suffering, no matter how unfair, develops strong character and deep wisdom. God's mission is not a cakewalk. Don't forget that. The names that Joseph gave to his two sons were the reflection of God's gracious act and blessing for him in foreign lands. Now, these are where we were going to learn as we complete this study. These are the key points that we will make plain to you and just be with us. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be great. Now, in this study, we have two major points in fulfilling the promise that God made to Joseph. We will look at two points. Point number one: God Almighty blessed Joseph and his wife with two sons. And then, point two, his dream was fulfilled. The very brothers who sold him, and they said, let's sell this man and see what will become of his dreams. Finally, bowed before him. In fact, they prostrated before him. It's just not a bowing, but they fell down flat before him. When God is in something, he is the promise keeper. He knows exactly how to do things. Now, let's begin our study now with the first point. Joseph and his wife had, God blessed them, with two children. All right, Rob, you said you had it. You are with Joseph and his wife, two children here before. You said you have a note here, so before I get into that.
Yeah, my note is just regarding the children's names.
Right.
We don't know too much about his wife. We know she's the daughter of a priest, but beyond that, scripture's fairly silent, providing any other details about her or what kind of character mm-hmm. she was. But the children's names are very interesting.
Right.
And as we continue this study, there's going to be some things that come up. So it's important to pay attention to those. The first being Manasseh, which means causing to forget.
Right.
And it's interesting because not only did Joseph forget about his troubles, and he went through a lot, but as he came out and was under Pharaoh, he realized, hey, this was part of God's plan.
Yeah.
But he wasn't the only one that forgot about what was going on. The chief butler forgot about Joseph because it wasn't God's time. So for two more years, he had to endure being in prison. So it's interesting. There's even more emphasis in what's going on. And in a moment, we're going to talk about the other son as well. And there's quite a bit that happens with that. But I'll save that for just a moment.
Right. Okay. Now, thank you, Rob. I mean, you nail it. The birth of Joseph's sons, and as Rob said, the very first son named Manasseh, and Rob had given you the meaning of that name. God caused me to forget all of the things that I went through, my families and the suffering. Here, I got joy by God blessing me with this son. All right. Then this the second son, name is Ephraim. And Rob, you said you got a note here on Ephraim.
Yes. Now the second son, it means a double ash heap, or I shall be doubly fruitful. Mm-hmm. That it will be a double portion.
Right.
Which is interesting because he's the second son, so second and double, so sort of a relationship there,
mm-hmm.
Which Joseph obviously was aware of when he named him that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's blessed by him, and he's given preference over the first son, Manasseh.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because here Joseph was the youngest son. He was also given preference.
Uh-huh.
And it says he shall be fruitful in his own name, that he will have a double portion, that he shall be fruitful. And when we read the blessing by Jacob, Joseph's father, you know, Jacob that is Israel, we see that this is reiterated. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting to note is that Jacob was the younger son, and he acquired the birthright from his brother Esau, just like what's happening here. So
uh-huh.
we see a repeat in the history. We read about that in Genesis 48. So here we see the youngest receiving the blessing. And it upset Joseph. But as far as I know, even though Jacob's vision was failing, he's like, I know which son this is and which one I'm blessing. And he says, but truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And what's interesting, when we read in Numbers, Numbers chapter 1, there is a census that Moses takes. And this is, you know, this is several generations later.
Right.
And the children of Ephraim is 40,500. And that's just the male children over 20 years of age. That doesn't then count all the women and others that are his descendants.
Right.
Those of Manasseh is 32,200. Again, reiterating the blessing here that they shall be a multitude and that it shall be exceedingly great. So it's really, really interesting. And one last point, when we talked about Moses, we had mentioned that there were some scholars who disagreed with how many Israelites left Egypt at the time. And I remember in seminary, they had taught us it was roughly between 1 to 2 million Israelites.
Right.
And as we read in that, well, if you look at it, how could Moses talk to this many and so on? And we kind of pointed to that, but we didn't say, you know, which where it was. It said something, you know, we'll need to explore further. Well, when we read in the Numbers here, it starts breaking down the census data.
Okay.
And all of the tribes except the Levitical tribe was part of the census. And so all of the male children over 20 years of age, those that are basically battle-ready, ready for war, are 603,550. That's a lot of children. So, yeah, so that does align itself with the teachings that we've been taught. You know, we have to remember, Scripture is our authority. So whether somebody else wants to speculate contrary to it, we have to go back to Scripture. So Numbers gives us some very good guidance. On this matter. So that's what I'll choose to accept.
Thank you. So, I mean, great, because when we're discussing it, we'll say, oh, there was a debate there, here, and there, but that's good. That's a key point. You brought the scripture out, and thank you. So Ephraim, we say, his name means double fruitfulness, you know, and then God bless him. And when God is fulfilling a promise to you, having children is one of the most important blessings in the life of a family. And because the children that you have will carry out the name of that particular family. So the blessing of God bless him with a wife and then bless him with two sons. And Joseph said, I am so happy. The Lord blessed me, even in the land that I was used as slave. Now, no more slave. God has raised me up to be the second to Pharaoh in Egypt. Now, all right. That's the number one fulfillment, all right? Joseph was blessed. When God promoted him through the Pharaoh of Egypt, the Pharaoh gave him a wife. And Joseph started working, going from place to place, building up these big structures, storing grains here and there. But the Lord said, I'm gonna bless you. While he was working, God Almighty blessed him with two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Now, let's discuss our second point, which is the second and last point of this study. All right. Joseph's dreams were fulfilled. Let me say that again. Joseph's dreams were fulfilled. All right. Now, his brothers bowed to him. In fact, they prostrated, they fell on the ground flat before Joseph. All right. But the thing that I love about Joseph when his brothers prostrated themselves before him for mercy. What we see in the life of Joseph, Joseph is, I consider him, or other scholars are saying, Joseph is the forgiving saint. He was a man that with all that had happened to him, when his brothers showed up, he forgave them. Now let's just go into details now with Joseph and his brother. Where Joseph was in Egypt, the Lord has blessed him. He got children. He was working the second to Pharaoh in the land of Egypt. He had two children. Everything was going on great for him. Then in his fatherland, in Canaan, his father Jacob, there was the famine also affected all the various countries around them. So Jacob told his children that he heard that their grains in Egypt, I mean food in Egypt, and he wanted them to go there to buy some food before they starve to death. So on their first trip, Jacob sent his 10 sons. He didn't send the little boy because, you know, he was kind of afraid. He sent the 10 sons to go because Joseph was no more, according to him, to Benjamin remained, and the other 10 went. They went there to buy food. When you read verse 42 chapter 42, 7 to 8, when they got there to buy the food, Joseph recognizes his brothers. He recognized them, but he did not reveal himself. They didn't recognize him. They never thought that Joseph was alive. No. They thought that he had died or something happened, but he recognized them. He did not reveal himself during the first time. But look what he did. He accuses them of being spies. And they deny. Oh no, we are not. But he knew who you were talking with. He said, you people are spies. And then they began to explain. He said, we are not spies. We are the sons of one man. And then they went in detail, okay, we are this, but one of our brother is not living again. And the smaller brother of that brother is with the father. And so they came to find food to eat. Joseph looked at him long time. I know he would turn around and cry in his heart and come back and say, you people are spies. Okay, the only thing that I would do to make sure that you are not spies, I would get one of you in prison. And then you need to go to your father, if your father is alive, and bring the little boy that you're talking about. So when that boy comes, it will make me to believe that you people are not spies. Otherwise, if you don't bring your brother, the little brother, back home, if you don't bring him, do not come back here anymore. And when you come here, you will not see my face. So Joseph, right in their presence, order, and Simeon was bound and was put into prison. So, but this is what happened. When that happened, they realized, you know, when there's anything wicked you do, and anything of that kind happen to you, you will always reflect on that wickedness. In chapter 42, verse 21 to 23, this is what, when that thing happened, this is what the 10 brothers said. I mean, the 9 brothers now who were on their way, they began to talk this among themselves. They concluded that what was happening to them, it was the sin that they committed by selling Joseph, their brother. Say, well, this thing is happening because we did something wrong. We saw our brother. He was crying. We didn't pay attention. Then Judah said, but I told you guys that wasn't the right thing to do, but y'all went and did it anyway. See what we're facing, all sort of misfortune. Look at the problem we have. Now, Simeon has been bound and taken into prison. What are we going to do? But while they were speaking, Joseph leaves their presence and went somewhere and he wept. He cried because he understood what they were saying, because he left his family when he was 17 years old and had only stayed away for another 13 years. So he knew his language. And when they were discussing this among themselves, Joseph went, he just passed by then, went somewhere else to cry, because he knew that his brother, they were talking about him, what he did, and all that. Wow. See what God is doing. He went, he did not reveal his true identity to them. He went out and wept and came back. So the nine brothers returned to Cana with their food. And they were surprised that the money they had used to buy food was in their bags. Read Genesis 42, 25, 28. They got shot. But we gave the money to the people. Anyway, Joseph had ordered his men, whatever, when they fix their food, when they get their bags of food, they should put the money back there. And so they put the money back in each bag, and they took it back. So when they got there, they were shocked, surprised, and didn't know how this money got there. However, Jacob said, well, let's keep the money. If you go back there, you carry this money. Maybe it was an error that happened. But here is the main point they told Joseph. They told Jacob all of the things that happened. And the guy said, well, we cannot go back there, because the Lord of the land told us the only way we can see his face is except we carry Benjamin. Oh, then Jacob said, oh, you people are killing me. Now, I don't see Joseph anymore. Now, Simeon is also gone. And you are saying the Lord of the land says you should carry Benjamin. I'm not going to do it. But after some time, the starvation was so real and so terrible, Jacob agreed. And Judah went and made a promise to his father. He said, well, daddy, if I don't bring your son back, you can put to death my two children. But I stand for Benjamin. I will take him, and I will bring him back to you. Because if we don't go, we will stay here and starve and die. So Jacob agreed, and the family went. And this is the beauty of this whole study here. Upon their arrival in that land with Benjamin, Joseph invited them to his house where food is being prepared for them. This next thing that happened, they were so afraid, because when they got there and Joseph saw his brother, he ordered that food should be prepared in his home for them. He invited them. But when they got in Joseph's home, they were worried. You just read that text. But then the manager of Joseph's house said, look, my Lord brought you here with good intentions, not to harm you. Do not worry. He brought you here to have food with you with good intentions. But they were really worried. Why? Something in their heart. They were worrying. But the manager of Joseph's house assured them that Joseph had good intention. Good intention. All right. Did they listen? Well, I know they listened, but what could they do anyway? The law of the land, is the man who is second to Pharaoh, invited them in his home. Nothing they could do about it. They could not say no. So they were there, maybe praying, maybe worrying, maybe what they were doing, then they were waiting. Joseph's household manager assured them that. He said, do not panic. It's going to be okay. My manager means no harm to you. At the same time, they went and brought Simeon, that was released Simeon and brought him, and he joined his brothers. Something is developing here. The man who was bound and put into prison, he was brought to and joined his brothers into that dinner. And so after a while, Joseph entered his house. Benjamin was introduced to him, the boy he wanted to see. I knew exactly when he got there, and this is why when I was reading the text, he got there, he said, is this your little brother you were talking about? Because he knew straight his brother from one mother. So Joseph was happy, but he was also sad in a sense, crying in his heart. He would go somewhere and weep a little bit and come back to be with his brothers. Amazingly, to sit for the banquet, Joseph seats them at the banquet table according to their birthright, and they were surprised. But how can they, and they consider Joseph to be an Egyptian? How can the Egyptian know exactly how the Hebrews can sit at the dinner table? But they never knew that Joseph, their brother, was the one that invited them in the house. But this is the beauty of the text. See, so when they all sat at the table and time for food, you know, Joseph ordered that his own silver cup to be secretly placed in Benjamin's sight. Shortly after leaving it, he just wanted to know whether his brothers have a change of mind, whether they have repented. So while they were eating and having good time, Joseph ordered his men, he said, look, take my silver cup, put it in this, in Benjamin's cup, in Benjamin's sight. And then when they leave, you go after them and have them arrested. So there was a plan. Joseph devises one final test that just to make sure whether his brother's character, they have a real good character now, or they were on the same thing with his brother Benjamin. So that happened after the dinner. When they were leaving, they left the city, and in less than a few minutes' time, the man ran behind them and caught up with them on the way. And he said, why must you do something like this? My Lord invited you to his own house and had a dinner for you. And then you had the gut to steal his silver cup? Oh, they were shocked. They didn't even know. Because they didn't see anything. And they said, well, look, we do not understand. We can't do that. Even the money that was put in our sack, we brought it back. And then the master told us, oh, we should take it back. So we cannot do such a thing. Anyway, check all of our bags. The person whose bag that this silver cup you're talking about will be found, let that person be your slave. Or we all would be your slave. But they were too sure because they didn't take it. But it was just put there. Joseph ordered that this be done to test their character, to test their hearts, to test whether they have repented or what they did. Or they had the same mind to do it to his little brother from one mother. That was the test. So when they checked and they checked in all of the side, bam! The whole thing fell on Benjamin. And they all started crying. And the guy said, well, you need to go and see the master. When they got home, when they came back and went to Joseph's house, the dream that Joseph had, that his brothers bowed before him, this time they were not just bowing, but they prostrated themselves before Joseph for mercy. that dream came, that dream was fulfilled. Because Joseph, when he had the dream he had, he said, we're on the farm and everybody on a stack bow before me. And he had the second dream for which he was sold. Those dreams that he had 13 years ago when he was a young man back home came to pass. His brothers came and bowed before him as Lord, the second to Pharaoh in Egypt. So whatever God does, God is the promise keeper, dear friend. God is the promise keeper. Whatever he wants to do, that's what he does. See, now when they got there and Judah bears Joseph, and in fact, they said, well, we all will become your slave. And Joseph said, no, you all can't be my slave. The person who stole my cup is the one that will be. I mean, Benjamin, he said, Benjamin will remain here. Now he wanted to see. Joseph wanted to see. Then Judah went. When you read 44, 18 or 34, Judah went and pleading and begged Joseph that let this child be released. Let me remain to take the punishment in his place, because this child is the only son, surviving son of his mother. So whenever anything wrong with this child, our father will die. But after Joseph saw that his brothers have repented, he did something. See, Joseph did something, and look what he did. Why he would they were begging, and they were some of them were rolling on the ground, and somebody said, "Oh, we let us be your slave." And Judah, who was there pleading with Joseph and crying and said, "This child cannot remain. Let me remain here for this child. Let me be in prison instead of this child. Let me take his place." Oh, Joseph now was unable to hold back any longer. So Joseph revealed his true identity to his brothers. He told everyone to leave, and he cried. And Joseph told his brother that, "I am Joseph. I am your brother." I know they were. I don't know how they felt at that time when Joseph said, "I am the Joseph you sold." He tells his brother that God has allowed everything to happen as it did so that he might save people from starvation during this whole time of famine. Now, Joseph, he have a forgiving heart. He said, all of the things that have happened for me to get into this country, it all works as part of God's providence for me so that I will be in the position in which I am today to save the lives of many people from starvation, including you, my family. And he told them, "Don't be afraid. I'm your brother. I'm Joseph. I'm not dead. Go tell, is my father alive? Go tell my father to come and join me in Egypt. Tell him that I am alive." And the things that Joseph gave to his brothers when they went back home, and they got home and met with Jacob, and explained with excitement that Joseph is the second to Pharaoh in Egypt. Jacob believed that because of all the things that Joseph said, "Go and bring my father." Joseph and his family, even the Pharaoh also tells Joseph's family to move to Egypt. So there were a lot of gifts that went when Joseph's brothers then went back home. When Jacob saw it, he was so happy. And he said, "Well, I am going to go down to see my son Joseph before I die." And Joseph and his family left Canaan and went to Egypt. All right, now, what we've been studying tonight concluding the life of Joseph, and Rob will come in to give our conclusion. But it's that God is the promise keeper. God promised the young man, Joseph, when he was very young, through dreams, he was hit up by his family and sold. And they said, we'll see what would become of his dreams. But because God is the one that told him what he would have done in his life as a young boy, God was with him throughout, even in the sufferings and enslavement and all that. God worked it out for his own good. Now, Joseph became the second man in all of Egypt. He was blessed with two children. And finally, the brothers who said, we will see what will become of his dreams. Let us sell him out of our family. What they tried to protect, what they never wanted to happen, it happened. They all prostrated themselves before Joseph. Joseph became the shining star for the family. Okay. All right, we stop here. And for those of you that are with us live tonight, if you have a question, let me just unmute everybody. If you have a question, you're welcome to ask that question. If you have a comment, please do, before Rob will come up and give us our concluding points tonight. Anybody? Okay. All right, Rob, can you please give us the conclusion, and so that I will make the announcement from the conclusion, then we'll come to the announcement.
Certainly, sir. Thank you, Pastor Libby. You laid it out really great for us. Mm-hmm. So this is interesting. We see that the sons of Jacob made three trips to Egypt. Mm. Two by themselves, and the third with their father. Mm. If we think back to the beginning, we have this dream that Joseph has, mm-hmm. where the children will prostrate themselves before him. Mm-hmm. Well, as you laid out, this is all part of God's divine plan, and three trips, three represents divine completeness and perfection. Mm-hmm. The number of the Godhead, it's usually an important indication of God's plan of salvation.
Yes.
There were the three patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Mm-hmm. And the multiple trips allowed Joseph to ascertain his brother's intentions. Mm. This was part of God's plan to preserve his people through the troubled times that were coming. Right. And Joseph was there to prepare the way. Mm. Now, there's another interesting piece here where Joseph was blessed with two sons, as we mentioned just a little bit earlier in this study. This evening, that number two can mean difference, division, or double portion. And what was the name of the second son? Ephraim. Double portion, doubly fertile. Mm-hmm. And so here, these children are preserved through the famine that is to come. And we read that people came from all around to Egypt to mm-hmm. buy grain. And then they wound up bringing their cattle and their livestock and then selling their land. So Egypt prospered through this difficult time.
Right.
And it was all because of God's doing, giving mm-hmm. Joseph the early vision, going into captivity, being a servant, and then being appointed to the governor over all of Egypt, Pharaoh's right-hand man, due to the vision that Pharaoh had and him being able to interpret it. So in Egypt now, Israel's sons, that is Jacob, his sons become a great nation. Mm-hmm. You know, this was all part of God's plan and timing, keeping the covenant that he made with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob, that they would become a great nation, too numerous to count. So here they're preserved through the trial, the tribulation, the hard times that are there, the famine.
Mm-hmm.
Living in a land of plenty, really. They have so much grain that they couldn't even count it.
Right.
And so God blessed Joseph, and he was 30 years old when he entered into the service of the Pharaoh.
Mm-hmm.
And he lived for another 80 years. And I like what you said, Pastor Liberty, a little bit earlier, that through Joseph, we learn how suffering, no matter how unfair, develops strong character and deep wisdom.
Right.
we think about it in our own lives. It's the trials and the trouble sometimes that our two characters reveal. You know, we are to be a witness to those around us. And Joseph, as we mentioned last week, we never saw him complain. We never saw him fuss. Yet he continued to serve. And it was because of his integrity that he rose into positions of authority and greater service. And he focused on serving rather than dwelling on the injustice that was dealt to him. So he became elevated, and he became trusted by those whom he served. So my question, as we conclude this, is where are you in your walk? Mm-hmm. You know, where is your focus? Is it on earthly things, injustice, suffering, trials, tribulations, ruminating about them, dwelling on it? Or are you focused on the kingdom of heaven, serving the Lord, bearing witness to those around us? You know, we are called to be salt and light unto this world.
Right.
Not salt thrown into an open wound to burn and sting, but salt that heals, salt that gives food its flavor. Mm-hmm. You know, we're to bring flavor to this world. We are essential. You know, when you boil salt water, what is left? It's the salt, and it's the boiling that's the trials and tribulations, things that we go through. Yet salt is left behind to give flavor, bear evidence of what we went through. And light, not to cast into the eyes and bring blindness, but rather to be like a lighthouse on a dark, stormy night, giving direction and bringing ships home to safe harbor. So, one final thought. We read in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Mm-hmm. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Mm-hmm. So be joyful, give thanks, and continue to serve. Serve with gladness in your heart.
Wow. All right. Thank you. Thank you. You got it. All right. Thank you. Now, for our announcement, if you are watching this video on our website, please leave us a comment. If you are watching it on YouTube, subscribe. When you subscribe, what is going to happen is that whenever we post any teaching, it's going to get right in your inbox. You don't have to go on our website to find it. Just subscribe, all right? And then you go straight now in our inbox, all right? So just do that. Subscribe to it, leave us a comment, and we are going to prepare every week to bring you this wonderful teaching. So we thank you for joining us tonight, and look, hey, invite somebody next week. We are now, we finished with the Old Testament. We are now going to pick up from the New Testament. In the New Testament, we just got one or two things to work on, but join us. We're going to look at in the New Testament. We'll be looking at marriages in the Old Testament, and there are specific people that we've been talking about. Now we are going to go through the New Testament and draw the final conclusion in the things we've been teaching for over a year now. It's a great study. We had about 60 videos out there discussing each areas of all of the great men that we've been studying in Scripture. They are free. That's for you. But pray for us and leave us a comment. That's a key thing. Subscribe. Don't forget to subscribe. So thank you for joining us. We are going to go in our next study now. We're finished with the Old Testament. We are going to go to the New Testament. All right. Okay. Hey, Rob, are you there?
Yes.
Yes, right. Okay. Can you lead us in prayer?
I can. Absolutely. Our Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this evening, this time that we had to study your word. Thank you so much for sharing us, giving us a peek into the life of Joseph. The trials, the tribulations that he went through, showing us a great example of what it means to be a servant, to listen to you, to hold fast and firm to your word, Father, no matter what circumstances we may be in. But just to look to you and to be ready to serve no matter the season or the time, for we bear witness to the world around us. So, Lord, we just thank you for this. And what an amazing story to see here, where he had to leave his family at such a young age, was thrown into captivity, only later to be reunited with his father before his father passed.
Yes, Lord.
And to see so many siblings, his brothers, his nieces and his nephews, such a great story of hope and promise for us. And Lord, as we've been reminded throughout this whole study, you are the promise keeper. So thank you. Thank you for keeping your word when we fail. Thank you, Lord, most of all for sending Christ to redeem us, just as you promised all the way back in the garden that you would crush the head of the serpent and that you would redeem us from our sin, Father. Lord, all we have to do is cast our belief upon you, Father, in your Son and the blood that he shed for us, and we shall be saved. Thank you, Father, for saving us and for redeeming us. And in the name of Christ and only in his name that we pray, we ask these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you, everybody. That's good.